In 1999, the arena shooter genre kicked off in earnest with the release of two games in particular, Quake 3 Arena and Unreal Tournament. By nearly every metric, Quake 3 was the more successful game. It was the sequel to an incredibly popular series, it sold more copies, and it continues to be the namesake for one of the world's largest LAN parties, QuakeCon. But when it comes to the art of map making and level editors, I think Unreal Tournament did some revolutionary things that continue to define the industry today, not the least of which is a focus on authorship and putting the creativity of artists front and center. While you can track down some of the names of the people who made Quake 3 maps, albeit with their contributions mixed into the overall workflow of collaboration at id Software, Unreal Tournament's maps were seemingly all made by individual artists. In fact, the software puts the map editor's name right there in the menu, as if to say, this map was designed by one person, and here they are. Also, the levels are often just weird, and a kind of uniquely defiant weird that's nearly impossible for a corporation to replicate in a way that will pass all the gatekeepers. To that end, the original Unreal Tournament kicked off a tradition of first-person shooters that placed a huge emphasis on player-generated content, not just in terms of the game's ability to be modded, but by the inclusion of the now-famous Unreal Editor, a program so versatile and with so much utility that it would outlive the Unreal franchise itself. Today, we're looking at some of my favorite custom levels for Unreal Tournament, as well as the culture surrounding the game itself, and what the tools of the Unreal Editor actually looked like. So here we go. Hello and welcome to Computer Lab Hijinks, a show about games, old software, and web ephemera. And today, we're doing a bit of a shorter video, hopefully, to talk about Unreal Tournament 99 and the community of map editors who made the game what it was. Janelle, welcome to the podcast. Well, I am Nathan, and you are someone else.
I am Janelle, yes.
There we go. You have quite an extensive history with Unreal Tournament.
Well, I would say out of my expertise of Unreal Tournament, it was very real, yet not real at the same time. And it always felt like I was at odds with other people. So you might say that it was the true Unreal Tournament experience. And that's all I really have to say on it.
The true Unreal starts here. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know why it's called that. That is wild. Yeah, in real life, though, have you played Unreal Tournament?
Nope. Or
arena, arena shooters, anything like that?
No.
You have played RuneScape, though.
I have played RuneScape.
That's some credit.
I did forewarn Nathan that on certain topics that we'd be speaking about, I don't necessarily know anything about. And this is one that I truly am coming in blind, but I'm excited.
Well, that's you to do probably the worst thing to be asked as a comedian, which is like, can you show up and be funny? Which is really being put on the spot, I think. So thank you for being brave.
Honestly, there's nothing I love more than being able to show up unprepared.
There we go.
Lazy to my core.
That's what the show's all about when it gets down to it. I'm also a fairly recent convert to Unreal Tournament. In terms of arena shooters, I played a lot of Quake Live when that came out because it was free in the browser. Kind of like RuneScape, actually. Mm-hmm. Played a lot of Doom after that, the 1993 Doom. And then I got obsessed with TF2, the vanilla TF2 from the PS3. That's too many acronyms. Team Fortress 2 from the PS3, which never got updated, which is my experience of the game. So a lot of 2 Fort. I've been known to enjoy the odd Counter-Strike match. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a big PC gamer in the early 2000s. Because I had a dial-up modem right up until the point where computers stopped having dial-up connections.
Gotcha.
Were you ever, how early did you go broadband in your life?
I don't have a memory of ever using dial-up. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So
fancy.
I don't know if I had like fancy parents that were upgrade, but I also like, as a kid, I never went on the internet anyways. I think our computer was just like little for like serial games.
Yes.
So we played those. And then I only remember having like a computer that could browse and whatever when we got like a Dell laptop, I believe was. Yeah.
That's classy.
So that feels late enough in my life that it was well past dial-up. So I don't really know.
When you say you didn't use dial-up or you have no memory of that, I'm picturing like the house from Home Alone where there's just like just so much fancy stuff. That's pretty cool. You lived a rich life.
Little did I know. Yeah. Little did I know.
The reason for this video, I think Unreal Tournament 99 specifically made a lot of interesting decisions in terms of what they included with the game. Mm-hmm. And we're going to kind of unpack that. And usually I like to say for the end, the sort of the legacy of a game that we're talking about. But the legacy of Unreal is quite well documented because it exists in both every shot of current Star Wars shows is actually inside Unreal Tournament in a kind of weird way. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds like I'm making that up. And the other is that Fortnite is still a pretty big game. And those are sort of the legacy of Unreal Tournament. And we're kind of talking about... what they set up, what Epic Games set up to kind of make that happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm on my seat's edge.
There we go. This is exciting technical information to be delivered with grace. So arena shooters kind of begin in the mid-90s because internet connections were getting a little bit faster.
Okay.
And it was mostly early on, it was single-player games that had a multiplayer mode. So the original Doom, the original Quake, and then by the time they get to the late 90s, you have games that are just online. What's a notable design change in the late 90s is that the early online shooters basically just put the single-player levels online. So it's like these linear adventure story mode levels that you can then go online and enjoy with friends.
Okay.
So the levels weren't made for multiplayer, if that makes sense.
Okay, but you were just allowed to have your friend with you.
You're allowed to, yeah. And it was interesting design choice, but it wasn't until Marathon. Bungie's Marathon is widely believed to be the first FPS to have original levels for multiplayer that weren't just modified single player levels. Mm. So that's pretty cool. And then that gets us into the modern era. Unreal Tournament and Quake 3 Arena both came out the same year, 99, and launched the arena shooter game into the stratosphere.
Wow.
And that leads into the era of games that are just exclusively online shooters. Things like Unreal Tournament.
Okay, so this was a shooter game.
Oh, yeah. I haven't explained anything about it.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Online shooter, you go online, and I want to describe the theme, but famously, the game doesn't have a theme in a kind of fun way.
Incredible.
It's a little bit space. It's a little bit like urban city environments, and then sometimes you're in a myth, like a gothic castle, and they never resolve where you are. And so the game's most famous level is Facing Worlds, which is just you're on an asteroid, and the Earth is spinning in the background, and they don't explain what it is. Or why you're there, which in my mind is some of the most fun pure gameplay. We're not going to explain.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Shoot your friends, but don't. Yeah. Actually, don't, please don't.
You know, we both played a chunk of RuneScape. I don't think either of us could explain what Falador is, or people have written novels about RuneScape. I don't know what the story is of that game.
It's funny because I truly did play a lot of RuneScape, but it was at a point in my life where I couldn't tell you a single thing that happens in RuneScape other than like, see, even the like, the wisp of a memory I had just now, like it's so faint just that it's faded. Gone. Yeah. I couldn't tell you anything that happens in RuneScape, except the people are really small looking.
Yes.
And you have to mine sometimes, I think.
You have to mine. Oh, that's a big chunk of the game. So we're here to talk about custom levels in Unreal Tournament and the crucial difference between Unreal Tournament and other arena shooter games, which those games allowed you to make your own levels, sort of. You can install mods.
Okay.
But Unreal Tournament included a piece of software called the Unreal Editor, or Unreal Ed, which is now used to make Star Wars in a kind of fucked up and weird way. You know, have you seen like the Star Wars behind the scenes where there's like a giant screen? Or maybe you've been on sets that have the giant wall that's a TV and the background is just a TV showing a place.
No, actually, no.
Oh. Well, one day you will be on those sets, they are increasing because it's better than green screen because you're seeing something. Well, it's better than green screen in every way.
If it's a big TV, essentially.
Yes.
Wouldn't it pick up weird on the camera?
It used to. So what they do is, so it's a full wrap around, like they call it the volume.
Yeah.
So it's like a curved TV that's like 20 feet high. And the Unreal Engine software tracks the camera's position. So every time you move the camera, the background moves.
Yeah.
Extremely disorienting in person. You feel like you're falling.
Oh, God.
But that's how they shoot Star Wars now, because it's
kind of lit.
It's pretty cool. People have opinions about it. I really like it. I think it's the way to go because acting on a green screen is the worst thing ever. Have you ever done a green screen day on a shoot?
I think my only green screen experiences have been like my own terrible green screen at home.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. So very professional and very good.
Yeah. Green screening is the worst. It is not a fun experience. So every map in Unreal Tournament is fully editable. So you don't need project files. You just, any map that's in the game, you can open and make changes. You can remove key elements of the level.
That's actually really great if you're a judgmental game player.
Yeah. Just like, I hate this level. Yeah.
Like, weird decision, getting rid of it.
Yeah, I disagree with the level designers here. Delete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of judgmental people out there, and you got to think about them when you're creating things.
I think every game should let you change every level as much as you want, just to be an asshole.
Someone takes Rainbow Road, makes it a straight line.
We fixed Rainbow Road.
We've made it perfect.
Can I just say, like, maybe this is like too discoursey, but like a lot of people complain about bad game design choices that are just the game being hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's supposed to be hard. Like, if you make Rainbow, if you fix Rainbow Road, it's just a highway. Like,
someone's like, yes.
This is the optimized.
This is the ultimate fun.
That is basically how I feel.
But it's a highway in space.
Highway in space. So it's got lore. brush editing. Oh, yes. When you're making a map in Unreal Editor, there's no polygons per se, or at least you don't edit them in the usual way. It's just you start with a box and you can have an additive box or a subtractive box. So if you want to make a level with a giant pit, you just have the box and then you add like a negative sphere and that like cuts a sphere into the level, which is a weird thing, but it kind of makes sense for level design. There's also a stairs button, which I think is weird, but it makes sense for game design. So you're not like making a bunch of cubes for each step and then moving them all together. You just press the stairs button, put in your settings.
That's so helpful.
Good times were had by all, I think, using the stairs button.
I love the hole button because kids love digging holes. We know this. They love digging holes. Why not let them dig imaginary holes?
Actually, I am going to make a level at some point. It should just be a bunch of holes that you fall through and then keep falling. It'd be a pretty fun level.
That also just makes me think of like a video game version of like Holes the movie.
Okay, the Shia LaBeouf.
And then you recreate scene for scene Shia LaBeouf's holes.
Just digging holes.
Oh, saying Shia LaBeouf's holes.
That was
holes,
the best. That was the best sentence.
We don't want his holes. Oh, nightmare.
Yeah, you should start cracking open the Unreal Editor. You'll make horror things, I think.
Yeah.
So it's more beginner friendly than some software, but still a lot more complicated than like MS Paint. So it's in like a weird gray area.
Okay.
Built-in textures. You can use all the Unreal Tournament textures in your level. Just drag them on there and you've got like a scary window or like bricks, castle stuff.
Love it.
This part's good. Fan-made tutorials and documentation. So one of my favorites is Wolf's Basic Tutorial. And it's instead of being like a PDF that you download, because this is 99, it's before like YouTube and stuff. You download a zip file of a website and then you run the website locally on your computer and it's got all the images embedded.
Oh,
it's pretty cool,
that
I think.
That works.
Now, why that website isn't just a website, I don't know. Because you could just make the website a website, but instead he made you download a zip file. So that's kind of weird.
And I'm just that feels realizing. Like a power move.
It's a power move.
He's like, you're going to have to put this on your computer.
You have to run
this yourself. I'm taking up space, and I just need you to accept it.
Yeah. And let's talk about some of my favorite maps. Are you ready, Janelle, for some of the maps?
Absolutely.
All right. So this is just a selection, a sampling of maps that are very important to me. We've talked a bit about Facing Worlds, which is these two like Mayan-inspired towers that are facing each other.
Cool. Fun.
And then a man named Britton Wesley made a map called Capture the Flag Facing Ass.
Okay, so we need more information on this. Is it what it sounds like?
It's kind of what it sounds like. So you're in a room, basically a giant cube with an oversized toilet, like a 200-foot tall toilet, and there's two giant butts facing each other. And this level is called Facing Ass.
And you play Capture the Flag?
You play Capture the Flag. Okay, weirdly, the gameplay elements are separate from the theme because you're basically just running across a flat plane to get the flag back and forth. And then the toilet's just in the way. And then there's just two large butts on the walls.
I see the artistic intention.
It is, it's classy. We're talking about highbrow gamer humor from 20 years ago. It's decisions were made.
Yeah. I support it.
Gameplay here is meant to be chaotic, and it definitely achieves that. The matches are pretty wild and fast. You're just running around a giant toilet. And it's not the most sophisticated game design. There's no height or anything. You're just running around essentially an empty room. Mm-hmm. But facing ass, I mean, the giant toilet, it's very memorable. So, yeah. So it tends to stick with people.
This is why creativity is important above all else. Because truly, the game, as you said, just running around an empty room. And yet here we are talking about it.
Yeah.
To like this day.
20
years
later.
Many years later. There's nothing like two asses.
All right, you ready for map two? This is the one. Deathmatch Mos Eisley Night and Day by Pat Bad Karma Fitzsimmons. Are you familiar with Mos Eisley?
No.
Oh, it is the scary like bar/spaceport from the first Star Wars.
Oh.
You Star Wars person?
I've seen some whole movies.
Really?
And then pieces of others. Because around the time that my older brothers were watching Star Wars, I was just too young where I didn't care.
Oh,
and then I kind of started caring a little bit as we all got older. So I've seen some of the later ones that came out when we were kids.
Some of the movies are great. And then like half of them are unwatchably horrible. That's my hot take for the day.
I mean, I might have watched the bad ones too, and that didn't help. I don't know.
That is possible. Yeah, so it's quite a large recreation of New Hope era Mos Eisley, which I guess has no emotional value for you.
None at all.
Just think about...
I'm stone cold inside.
Whatever you can imagine. It's like a desert city. It's fun. You get to shoot things.
Oh, okay.
You can go on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
So you can go inside and someone like modeled the entire interior of the Millennium Falcon, which is
pretty cool.
Pretty hard to do with the Unreal Editor at that time. So
That seems very hard.
It's elaborate.
Considering the main points you gave me was there's a stairs button and you can make holes. And they're building this like super futuristic,
like intricate,
intricate spaceship.
Yeah.
It has a lot of stairs on it.
Yeah. All you have is a cube button, a sphere button, and the stairs button. And then you use those to make worlds.
That's to me, that seems very effortful. Is that a word? Effortful?
Yeah.
Feels very effortful. It's like when people in Minecraft are like, yes, I want to build. I look at the steps that it takes to build anything in one of these things. And I say, that's too many steps.
It's too many steps.
That's too many steps.
Yeah.
But I understand other people have different interests than me. So I appreciate it.
Some people just spend like 1,000 hours building like all of Game of Thrones in Minecraft. But I respect it.
I truly respect it.
It's hard work.
And I respect it because I'm like, just like I'm not capable of doing an open heart surgery, and I respect that. Right. I am not capable of building a Star Wars ship with just holes and stairs.
Holes and stairs. It is impressive. Star Wars music is included, just, you know, complete copyright infringement for the fun of it.
That's a good time. I was gonna say, how'd they pay for that?
They just brought it right in. The maps, so normally the map creator's credits are in like a text file that come with the map zip file. But in this case, they made a JPEG of like some Star Wars graphics with like funky text that's like made by, you know, Bad Karma. Mm. It's a very like funky looking 90s kind of graphic. We'll put that on screen. Oh, yeah. And we're also going to show a photo. The creator of the map had their own webpage on the Planet Unreal website. And it's like the most 90s looking website. It's got like funky like word art text. Mm-hmm. So we'll put that on screen. But you can just imagine in your heart.
You just pulled word art right out of the recesses of my brain. What a time.
It's a good time being young, just typing swear words and seeing it in like curvy text. Like, ah.
I just remember making so many poster boards for school and being like, what's the font of the title going to be this time?
Like every word is its own font. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Good. You had to use every single style to make your poster as good as it could be.
Yes. Oh, yes. And the final map I want to look at, Monster Hunter, which is actually a mod, not just one map, made by Kenneth Shrimp Watson. It is a mod that adds different PvE creatures to the game. And one of the gameplay modes is Monster Hunt, where you run through a level. It's almost like a single player game and you kill all the monsters. And they added in like new creatures into the game in a very high effort way. I'm actually not sure how they did that. And the mod came out in 2001, I believe. And the last update was 2 years ago. So they just keep cracking away on Monster Hunter.
Wait, so people are still playing this game?
Oh, yes. Now's as good a time as any to say. Wow. So Unreal Tournament came out in 1999. There was like eight Unreal games in total. So they made a few sequels.
Yeah.
But Unreal was always more of a tech demo for the Unreal Engine. So now it's Star Wars, obviously, in Fortnite.
Yeah.
The creator of this mod, Shrimp, actually made the Unreal Archive website, which is where a lot of this is archived. Kind of the fun of doing this is that you get to find like 2000s websites that are just kind of the classic, like, oh, this is Greg's website. And it's just like a bunch of like blue text and you download files.
Yeah.
And to me, that's what a website is. I think we've lost that in the social media era. Just like GIFs and JPEGs and just clicking around on a site.
Yeah, the really like old school ones. Yeah.
That's the joy.
That's fun. They look like poster boards. That's why I love them.
It is like a PowerPoint poster board.
Yeah, it's just usually like one color and then it just looks like everything's pasted on.
Yeah. That is a good website. That's what I'm all about. When people do like Squarespace website or like you scroll and things start moving around.
No.
I'm officially against it. I'm not afraid to say it.
Yeah. Hot take.
Hot take time.
Get in there. Get in there.
Some coins in the hot take jar. Put an Elizabeth right in the jar. There we go.
Lizzie for that one.
A little Lizzie. So the Legacy Unreal Tournament 99 maps were made by the players and you could just do things you wanted to experience. As you said, you can just be really opinionated and change levels that you don't like.
Yeah.
That's kind of a fun time.
Yeah.
You can go into the Star Wars level and delete all the Star Wars stuff if you want. Just be a weirdo.
Or you can delete all the wars and keep all the stars.
Just the stars background.
Yeah, you just want to look at the night sky. It's very sad.
That would be a sad level.
You can't see the stars in the city, so you have to see them online.
Actually, now that you mention that, because you're kind of talking about like scary looking levels,
yeah.
I wasn't going to bring this up, but it is kind of a cool level, which is that someone made a deathmatch Britney Spears level. And I only feel comfortable bringing it up because Britney Spears has been able to tell her story recently and she's kind of back. And it's a level that's joking about her. Oh, what were you saying?
Oh, no, I was just unsure where this was going.
I think when I see older stuff, especially made by men, that's like making fun of Britney Spears, my like.
Oh, I understand. I wasn't sure why we were prefacing this, but I understand now.
Okay. Oh, no, I don't mean like she sucks. I just mean like...
I was just about to be like, what happens to Britney Spears?
Yeah, it's... and the good thing is it's a map made... So Deathmatch Britney Spears was made in like 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of like using her as a funny image the same way you'd use like someone making fun of One Direction. It's just like, oh, I'm going to make fun of pop culture.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's before 2008, you know, it's before things were getting like quite serious.
So yeah.
Just a goofy level that oddly enough doesn't have that much to do with Britney Spears. There's just pictures of her, and then you're in like a simulation of hell, and every time you walk through a room, like these monsters run at you, and then there's like these neon like warp holes that you keep falling through, and then there's a giant chessboard where everything's trying to kill you. It doesn't even feel like violent or video gamey. It just feels like a fever dream. And someone decided to call it Deathmatch Britney.
That's very funny. I like that there's just pictures of her everywhere.
It's just pictures of her.
That's very funny.
It's a pretty upsetting level to play. It's like a Shining style horror film, and in the sense that whatever amount of time you're playing, it just feels like an extended panic attack. It's a really good time. So Unreal Tournament has been removed from digital storefronts, and it's unclear why. Epic has just kind of moved on to other things with Fortnite, and they just deleted everything related to Unreal Tournament from their storefronts, and you can't buy it anymore. And the online functionality doesn't officially work, although there's patches to make it happen, which is kind of unfortunate. It's a game people like playing. It didn't really cost them anything to maintain the server, so I'm not sure what happened there. But it's a little bit of an illegal game to play now if you don't have a legitimate copy. Just pirate it and start playing. But
just bad boys out there playing. Unreal Tournament.
Breaking laws.
In their leather jackets.
Can you imagine? Like a Fawn style. Like,
yeah, I'm truly imagining like someone with greased hair.
Playing Unreal Tournament.
Yeah. And then just like people fawning, like,
ah. He's breaking the law.
Such a bad boy.
I do have to remind myself that like the word criminal doesn't just mean like people who are doing really exciting stuff to watch, but it's like me downloading Skater Boy on LimeWire back in the day. It's like
Don't put that on camera. Yeah, no. The internet can't know.
There's a lot of crimes out there, and some of them are really boring. Is my hot take.
I'm gonna be frank with you right now. I've jaywalked before.
Oh, jaywalking's a good one.
Yeah.
My conclusion. Are you ready for the exciting conclusion?
Yeah.
While Unreal Tournament was far from the first arena shooter, and certainly not the first to encourage modding, the game's very open-ended lore, because they don't explain where anything is or why you're in space, why you're in this weird urban environment. You're just in places shooting stuff. The open-ended lore and visual style made custom maps feel central to the experience, to the point that the developer-made levels felt about as legitimate as the fan-made ones, which is pretty fun.
That's fun.
And so there were like games like Quake, you had to use like fan-made map editors like Quark or Hammer, but Unreal just came, so as soon as you download and install the game, you could just open the map editor and start working on stuff.
Yeah.
Which is pretty official and fun.
If I were to build a level,
what would you build?
It would be called One Big Hole. You can imagine what it entails. It
wouldn't be Shia LaBeouf's holes. It would
no,
be one
just
big
be
hole.
One big hole. You could throw yourself into it.
Throw yourself in. That's pretty good. Is it a single player level? Do you like attack people?
I mean, you could do a multiplayer. We could all jump into the hole together.
Sounds like an art piece. That's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's just performance art.
That's pretty good. There's one thing I wanted to add. Oh, there was an official list of the maps that this one guy liked. Cliff Blazinski, who was one of the developers, he had a page called Cliffy B's Ownage, which sounds pretty cool. You know, like ownage or pwnage?
I understand.
Okay.
I am laughing at the word ownage.
It's kind of whiplash to hear language like that. Not because it's offensive. You're just like, wow, 20 years has gone by. Cliffy B's Ownage. What do you picture with Cliffy B's Ownage?
I think like 90s, early 2000s internet speak.
Yes.
It's so funny.
It doesn't always like have a reason. Like, I don't know where we know pwnage is like someone misspelling ownage, but we don't know why people said ownage.
I'm sure someone knows.
Someone must
know. But it's not for us to know.
It's a mystery, I think.
It's like the laws of the universe. They just are what they are.
And that is really what this show's all about. Some stuff we can explain and explore and read articles about. Other stuff's just a mystery.
Yeah.
And that's fun. We'll put a link in the description to download some of the map packs because they're on websites that might disappear over the next little while, but they are free to distribute. So we'll throw some on the Powell Film website and get people downloading them. And do you have any closing thoughts on Unreal Tournament? Do you feel like you've learned about Unreal Tournament?
Definitely have.
There we go.
Can say that I have.
You don't know less now.
What if I did?
I've forgotten.
What if
everything.
I was like, what is it called?
I've forgotten the word tournament. What is a tournament?
Honestly, I think my takeaway is I want to know more about Cliffy B. Seems like Cliffy a cool B. guy.
Oh, that he does.
I cannot stop thinking about the butt level.
Yes.
Where you play capture the flag under the butts. I wonder if they provide shade or are the butts too flat? They can't provide good shade.
They do cast scary shadows, I will say. Oh,
okay. Okay, so we're talking shelf. And also, I can't stop imagining Rainbow Road as just a straight highway. These are my main takeaways.
That'll be one of my Unreal Tournament levels, a fixed Rainbow Road.
It'll be the next level after one big hole.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for watching Computer Lab. I am Nathan.
I'm Janelle.
And you are someone else telling you to keep your files safe, keep your passwords managed, and for goodness sake, don't click on any weird links. We'll see you in a week.